I had a similar experience to Justin by myself in the living room, and it wasn't The Passion of Christ, but it was a similar movie. I went to Little River from the time I was six or seven, heard the resurrection story, went to Piedmont and heard about the crucifixion, heard it. And it's one of those things where, looking back, I realized that I probably became desensitized to it. I think that happens to us all, these movies, these violent movies that are played, you know, you don't think about what really happens. In this movie, I can remember, I might need those tissues, watching the actor who is playing Jesus. You know, Mr. Foster taught us about the cat of nine tails and how, in some cases, you can see the lungs of the person after what happened. It's brutal. What struck me was, the rest is going to be fun, was watching the nail drive, being driven into his hand and watching the pain that he suffered. And I sat there with myself all by myself that day and cried. And that's when the resurrection and what he did for us really meant something to me. Prior to that, it always meant something, but you don't realize how greatly he truly suffered for us. While we were yet sinners, he knew 2,000 years later we were going to be here making our mistakes, doing our thing, and with each pound of the hammer onto that nail, our sins were there. And so that really has meant, it means more to me now than it, all the years growing up, going to Piedmont and Little River. It just means, the crucifixion means so much more to me now. That's got nothing to do with what I was going to say today. You did touch on a few things. When Sam asked me to share what the resurrection means to me, three words that Kim mentioned came to my mind too. The first one that I'm going to start with is victory. Through the resurrection of Jesus, we have victory over sin and death. And I'm going to share 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 7. And it says, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can celebrate that. We can sing it. We can rejoice over that victory. We can have hope through it. That's the next word. Hope was actually the first word that came to my mind about the resurrection. Jesus' victory over sin and death gives us hope. Lots of types of hope, but one of them is the hope of eternal life. I've got several verses written down. It's the best reference. Colossians 1:18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence." Firstborn came to my mind. It kind of stuck out for me. I don't know how many people here have had only one child, but you don't refer to your only child as your firstborn. They're your only child, or your son or your daughter. People who have multiple children will say, this is my oldest, my youngest, my middle. I don't know how many people say, this is my firstborn. But that implies to me that there are going to be more that are resurrected from the dead, which is very encouraging. So I'm going to turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. This is one of my favorite verses. When I found this, I was like, oh yeah, this is perfect. So I'm going to read this. It said, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." There's a lot of hope there. There's hope that, like Jane said, we're going to see our loved ones that have gone on before us. We aren't hopeless like those that are lost. It's not like we're never going to see these people again. We're going to see them in their prime. We're going to be in our prime. You know, we're going to have our hair, babe, and be healthy. Sorry, I had to do that. Sorry, I had to do that. I couldn't help it. So we're going to be reunited with our loved ones. We have hope of eternal life. You know, our life doesn't end here. I have to say, I mean, life for me has been pretty good. The Lord's blessed me with a good life. There are other people who just don't seem to have that. Everywhere they turn, everything they do, it's just loss after loss after loss. But we have hope of eternal life. And the other hope is that we can be with Jesus forever. It says right here that we can be ever with the Lord. And so, you know, by believing in his death and resurrection, we don't have to lead a hopeless existence. 2020 and 2021 so far have been pretty hard. We're seeing young people who can't go to school, who are suffering depression because they don't get to be with their friends. People are losing their jobs. People are losing their loved ones. I mean, it just goes on. The state of our nation right now, the cancel culture, the world's ugly right now, but we have hope through Jesus. So we have victory, and we have hope, and we have peace. I'm going to share, I heard this message the other day. I listened to a man on my way to work named Philip DeCourcy, and he brought my attention to this missionary. His name was John Patton. He was a Scottish missionary. In 1858, he went to one of the South Pacific islands called Tana, took his wife. There were a string of islands in the South Pacific, and they were known to be inhabited by cannibals. So in 1858, he and his wife go to Tana. In early 1859, his wife gives birth to their son. That was, I believe, in February. And in March, she died of a fever, and shortly after, he lost his son. Throughout his missionary work here on this island, he was constantly fighting, defending himself against being somebody's dinner. And so I have a couple of quotes here, and this is about peace, and this is pretty amazing stuff here. So I'm just going to read a couple of quotes that he wrote down. It says, in addition, the natives were not receptive to the gospel, save one chief, who often warned John when angry tribesmen were on their way to kill him. John writes of one story. When this chief, Noar, came to him in the middle of one night and told Patton to climb up a large chestnut tree, John later writes about his experience in his autobiography. Being entirely at the mercy of such doubtful and vacillating friends, I, though perplexed, felt it best to obey. I climbed into the tree and left there alone in the bush, and was left there alone in the bush. The hours I spent there live all before me as if it were yesterday. I heard the frequent discharging of muskets and the yells of the savages, yet I sat there among the branches as safe as in the arms of Jesus. Never in all my sorrows did my Lord draw nearer to me and speak more soothingly in my soul than when the moonlight flickered among those chestnut leaves and the night air played on my throbbing brow as I told all my heart to Jesus. Alone, yet not alone. If it be to glorify my God, I will not grudge to spend many nights alone in such a tree, to feel again my Savior's spiritual presence, to enjoy his consoling fellowship. And again he stated, once when natives in large numbers were assembled at my house, a man furiously rushed on me with his axe, but a Kazurumini chief snatched a spade with which I had been working and dexterously defended me from instant death. Life in such circumstances led me to cling very near to the Lord Jesus. I knew not for one brief hour when or how attack might be made, and yet with my trembling hand clasped in the one nailed on Calvary, and now swaying the scepter of the universe, calmness and peace and resignation abode in my soul. So Jesus promises us peace. I mean, I can't imagine how he lived. But if he can do that, we can do that. Jesus promises us in John 14, 27. He says, peace I leave with you, and peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I'm going to share another one of my favorite verses. Romans 8, 31 through 39. It's one of the best little groups of scripture in the Bible. They're all great, but this is just awesome. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Shall God that justifieth? Who is he that condemns? Shall Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, or coronavirus, or depression, or cancer? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's just magnificent to me. And so, you know, that's kind of all I had to share. I just want to say to people, you know, when you find yourself up a chestnut tree, being chased by cannibals, just remember to clasp that hand that was nailed to the cross, but now swings the scepter over the universe, because we have victory in Jesus, and we have hope of eternal salvation, and we can have that peace to carry us through anything that's thrown at us.